Coming up, we're about to answer your questions in maybe what will be a helpful episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. So from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 132 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I, of course, am your host as always, Mr. Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by my co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin. Hello.
Well, hello.
Hi, Rhino. Hello. Hi. Hello. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here today. So, we've got a great episode for you this week. Sorry. Last week with the episode that we put out. I was on vacation and
in the mountain.
I was in the mountains of North Carolina, which I know that doesn't sound exciting to some of y'all out there, but there's a lot of beer to be found there, and that is what I'm about. So that's what I was doing. But we ran into some problems with the show because, unfortunately, I completely forgot to bring the file for last week's show that we recorded. So first Rhino had to play a little game of track down the file and get that to me, on top of then me just not having really great Wi-Fi at all. So unfortunately I had to wait until I was back at home in order to get it up. But it was a great episode. It was on Revenge of the Mummy. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, go ahead and check it out. There was some fun tidbits in it. The movie turned out to be terrible, according to Rhino. I still haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, you can listen to what I thought about it on the DizPop iTunes, the audio-only feed, but yeah, I'll go into it on there rather than any details on here.
But I'll tell you what, the one great thing that kind of came from that episode so far that I'm seeing feedback from people is everyone has such a passion for Revenge of the Mummy. They really love it. So hopefully Universal feels the same way about it and doesn't try to ever do anything to screw that up. So, because, you know, it is beloved. But we're not here today to talk about Revenge of the Mummy. We have a little fun question and answer show for you coming up here. So I'm not sure if anything newsworthy happened over the past week. I have not really been following any of it because I took my vacation very seriously. But I do have some questions here from people submitted via Facebook and email. So why don't we stop wasting time? I'm talking to myself specifically on that. And why don't we just jump into it? So are you ready to go, Rhino?
I am ready.
Oh, okay.
Ready. Ready to answer these questions.
Okay, the first one's going to be kind of it's got a blue sky sort of question.
Okay.
So one that we may have answered before, but as I was going through and pulling questions, I could not remember if we have done this one before. So this one comes from Steven, and Steven asks, since we know a few more resorts are coming to Universal property, if you could theme a hotel to any property Universal has used, from the parks to Halloween Horror Nights, but excluding Harry Potter because that's too obvious, what would you pick and why?
Jurassic Park, man, because they would have chili and sea bass on their food menu. The Hunger Games, that would make for an interesting lodging establishment. I don't know. So, one that they already own, I missed that part.
Yeah, one thing they've already used.
Nintendo. Nintendo Hotel would be kind of cool, because imagine the lights in the room would all be, like, the question marks, the coin boxes. I can imagine, like, it's all themed, like, the Donkey Kong wing could all be, like, kind of jungle themed, and there'd be drums everywhere, and a lot of bananas when you get welcomed in the room, and then, I could see something with Nintendo.
No, I obviously could too, and I think something Nintendo could actually come someday. I think it would definitely be in the realm of a.
You look like Mario right now while you're saying it. I'm sorry.
It's a me. Sorry, I left my black mustache at home. For people who are listening, I have a red shirt on with a red hat, and yes, I do look pretty ridiculous.
I should have worn all green. Yeah. I knew it.
Yep. We could have a good themed episode here, but you screwed it up. I would see that definitely as a value hotel.
Imagine what the pool would look like. Oh, well, it could have like the little piranhas everywhere.
Oh, I mean, there's just endless realms. I could definitely see it as something like an art of animation, where you have where you have three different pools and you have multiple themes throughout the resort. So yeah, you have the Donkey Kong area and you have a Donkey Kong pool with that, and then you do have a Mario themed area with the Mario pool and all of the warp pipes in there too, because you couldn't go without that. But then, you know, maybe also a Zelda theme too, because the one thing that's kind of been kind of off the radar with every announcement with Super Nintendo World and what could be coming is Zelda's been given a little bit of love, but not a ton of love, because a lot of the rumors are whatever Zelda was planned for the first round has been completely X'd out.
I'm realizing as you said Zelda too. Okay, first of all, what if one of the areas was like the haunted place in Mario? They'd never do that, but
the haunted corridor, of course.
Yeah, but also we didn't talk the map that got leaked.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the map that got leaked, and I'll just bring that up right now because of it. The map that got leaked kind of showcased what could be coming to Universal Studios Florida in in the Kid Zone section, which, you know, we've been talking about it for a long time. Everything I was being told was that the first of Nintendo that goes in at Universal Orlando would be in Kid Zone, and everyone else, you know, who thought that too was kind of standing firm on that. And now these plans were released and leaked, and those confirm what everyone had been told about Kid Zone before. So I that's still kind of the starting point. And then within the plans, then there was the broken down sections for different attractions that might be there. And then Zelda was involved in that, as well as Donkey Kong. And I just know from
Pokemon was there too. Yeah. Yeah. There was a Pokemon training center.
Exactly. I can only speak on what I've been shared and stuff, and I can just I can't really talk about that because I said I wouldn't to someone who was talking to me about it. But basically, the only thing I can say is that I don't believe that Zelda will have any involvement in it, even though those plans say that. I think those are older ones, and ideas have changed since then. But that is my original that's my standpoint on those park plans. I think we do have a Nintendo question coming up later too, so I'm not going to get more into that than I did right now. But that's there. So for my hotel, excuse me guys, sorry, I'm kind of getting over a little bit of a cold of sorts, but if I could have one hotel, I think I would go the very easy route and do a hotel kind of themed around opening, and not opening attractions, but the classic Universal attractions. So of course, you know, you're gonna have a Jaws wing, you're gonna have E.T. wing.
Oh my god, a Back to the Future wing.
A Back to the Future one. You're gonna have a Kong 50s one. Oh yeah, no, it's, and so that's what I would want to see from that. I would love something HHN too. I'm just not sure of what
the children's hotel.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would really go with it. But I think the classic movies, I think there's a way to do that too, where, you know, with the Jaws, it can be very New England kind of beachy style, yeah, with that. And with Kong, you could go for more of even though, you know, the Kong ride was through the city, you could go with that, or you could just kind of go all out and do like kind of jungle-ish themed.
Do like the island.
E.T., you know, go for that class, a forest-themed room. If they could make the forest in the room smell just like the queue, oh, that would be out of this world. Mm-hmm. And Back to
Reese's
the Future.
Reese's Pieces in your little bow.
No. Back to the Future, I'd definitely go 50s with that. But that's what I would.
Why haven't they hired us yet as creative directors? I will never understand.
The problem is we are creative when it comes to blue skying, but when it comes to getting the job done, we have a 0% follow through rate on that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We're not really building dioramas that often.
Yeah. No, and you know, that is, I can't even say we're not even putting pen to paper. You do sometimes, but not really with that. More with cartoons and such.
Yeah, cookies, yeah. Cookie cops. Because don't suck about my idea.
We can't talk about that. That's for a different show. So, excuse me again. This next question comes from Samantha, who says, we are staying one night at Cabana Bay, then one night at Royal Pacific so they can get express pass for 2 days at the park. Very clever. Can we keep the car at the cheaper Cabana Bay parking lot for 2 days, and is it worth it splitting hotels? We are staying Friday to Sunday in September after our Disney cruise, first time at Universal Orlando.
I don't think so, because you need the room key to get out.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. You're going to have to move the car over. We apologize for that. You just have to. So you're going to have to be okay. It's only like a dollar or two more. I haven't looked at an old rate on that or a current rate on that in quite a while. So I do apologize. My information's off, but it's not that much of a significant difference between the parking for the two hotels. If you're talking the difference between just regular parking at Cabana Bay and valet at the other hotel, then yeah, that's definitely a big step up. So just don't do that. But in terms of Royal Pacific, doing checking in there so you can get 2 days of express for your 3 day vacation, I think that's a wonderful idea. It's actually perfect. You get the best of both worlds. You get Cabana Bay, but then you do get a little bit of time in the parks with the express pass. So and with that, my only advice would be to, since the first day you go there, I don't know if you're planning on going to be at the parks that much or whatever, but just enjoy it, relax as you're going around. When you'll have the express for the next 2 days, definitely take advantage of that and make sure you go like balls to the wall during that. And
yeah, then
the day that you don't, maybe use that as a day to really like walk through the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and truly
look at the little nitty gritty stuff. Yeah. The little details.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind, Friday to Sunday, you didn't say when in September. If it's towards the end, make sure you're paying attention to those Halloween Horror Nights dates. Because if you're not interested in that event, that still could affect your vacation because the park's closing earlier. So not as much Islands of Adventure, but Universal Studios Florida will close a bit earlier because of HHN. So definitely keep an eye on what your dates are. If it's beginning of September, not a big deal. If it's at the end, just have a plan for what to do when Universal Studios Florida is going to be closing a bit earlier in the night. So this next one comes from Trey. Sorry, Troy. That's my bad. That is my bad. I'm looking on a small screen, so I should have blown that up. Troy asks, in your opinion, if you have early entry to Volcano Bay, should you still reserve the premium seating, or are there enough umbrellas around property to get one with early entry?
This is something I've heard about, is that one of the struggles happening there right now, because we all know they opened a little earlier than they should have, is that it's become a bit of a challenge to find shade later in the day. So if you're talking like, you know, you're not coming first thing in the morning, it might be worth it to reserve one of the premium spots. It depends, though. Well, lately the weather's been so terrible here. Like, we're back to that 3 o'clock thunderstorm every day. Yeah. So,
yeah, no, that's a tough call. So I guess it would also, it depends on what you're looking to get out of a place like Volcano Bay. So if you're the type of person who, when you go to a water park, a pool, anywhere, and you like to just sit and lounge by that area, by the pool, or you know where you set up, then I would absolutely recommend getting premium reserve seating. For me, when I visit any area like that, I get stir crazy. I can't sit in one place too long. And if I wanted to take a break to go sit down somewhere, I'm more likely to find myself at a bar or a restaurant.
Yeah. So. One of the things I really enjoyed about Volcano Bay is I feel like all that kind of stuff's evenly dispersed. Yeah. So like there's a bar on this side, there's a bar on this side, and those are specifically the bars for that. Then there's like food location. So you don't have to go too far without finding a little bit of a like solace somewhere, you know?
No, and even a step beyond that, if I was, you know, they're still facing the problems with the virtual lines, and it's basically now they're at the point where if the virtual line has no wait at all, you don't have to worry about reserving your time. You can still go up and you don't have to worry about that. So they are starting to get into a bit of a groove with it. It's still not perfect. But my thing is, like, if I'm really looking for a way to relax at a place like that, I'm more likely to go for like the lazy river than even sitting down.
Good idea. Yeah.
On a beach chair or a cabana or any premium place. So that's just my output on it. It all depends on how you do water parks. If having a comfortable chair and a good location is what you do, or having a cabana is something you have to do, then obviously go with that. But if you're willing to explore and find off the beaten path places where you can kind of just get out of the sun maybe for a while or get off your feet, then they are there to be found as well. So move on to the next question. This one comes from Autumn, and Autumn asks, if and when Universal builds a fourth gate, are there some Universal intellectual properties you would like to see lands or areas themed around? Let's say there are five lands or areas. What would you think would work best?
This like new properties one. Or like she's saying, well, I'd love to see
Adam, not a she.
Oh, I thought you said Autumn. I'm sorry. I'd like to see, again, something that celebrates classic Universal or something that celebrates the movies. So I know it always comes back to the future, but I still feel like that's a bankable thing for the rest of time. Yeah. You know, maybe some sort of, like, even if it's not an attraction, maybe it's just Hill Valley.
Yeah.
And the Time Institute, and it like shows you the history of movies or something like that. You know,
I would honestly too. So we have, that's one choice for you. I would love to see something in terms of something that hasn't been done anymore, but kind of taking the idea from Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon a little bit, but instead of leaving it on just The Tonight Show, maybe focusing on the comedy of NBC as a whole.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Kind of highlighting a lot of those past shows and current ones that just brought a lot of,
like, Seinfeld, Friends, yeah, like the must-see TV.
Yeah, well, focus on Saturday Night Live. And
yeah.
That just had its best year in how many years?
Yeah.
And, you know, ride the wave on that. The Office was a huge hit for NBC.
The
Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
It seems like there's so much there. And I know, like, they talked about in City Walk, maybe we'll open up like an SNL themed lounge. And there's been those ideas. But I feel like, you know, there's been enough hit television shows that have been shown on NBC. Because I know, like, technically Friends
is Warner Brothers.
But, you know, people don't remember it as a Warner Brothers show. They remember
it's in the feather NBC. Of the peacock. Yeah. It's like Will and Grace is, yeah, I think, is the same situation. You know, it's like made by somebody else. But I thought you were going to say this, what I'm about to say. And I was thinking it would be cool if they had like a black and white area,
yeah,
and it celebrated like classic the monsters. Because that could be the theme, is it's all like black and white film. And so everything in there, it would be kind of cool to see an area that has an absence of color. And then you could do just expand on that classic monster, since the Dark Universe is a thing, or is trying to be a thing.
That kind of went into what I would have added as a third. So we'll call that not just classic monsters have that, but just do it as like a horror.
A horror land.
Horror land, essentially. With kind of the same idea that the one Scare Zone had 2 years, where it switched back and forth from current genre films and then also went to the black and white section. Do it like that, but have it as a way to showcase those Universal classic monsters in that black and white setting, but then also be able to tie in stuff with Halloween Horror Nights. So few people, you know, get a taste of what Halloween Horror Nights is unless they go to the event. And I know, like, going to see the horror makeup show, you can kind of read about it and you can see the one prop display. But it's unlike at Universal Hollywood, where you have The Walking Dead now open year round, to get that idea of, okay, this is what it's kind of like.
Yeah.
So if we could get the same thing in Orlando as a bigger whole land, then I feel like that could really That could open a lot more minds to how much bigger the event could be on a yearly basis. So that's another idea with it.
Spielbergland.
That's not bad.
I'm just thinking like Jaws, E.T., Jurassic Park. I mean, this guy's, he's the executive producer on Back to the Future. You know, it's like, I just pulled up a list of Universal movies, and the first like bunch of them are all Steven Spielberg films. So it's kind of like, it would be cool to see something that maybe celebrates that. I don't know though, but we kind of already said something that celebrates classic movies, I guess.
But
I'm trying to just look through and see if there's something else in here, like another franchise that hasn't been.
Yeah, that's tough because they're doing a good job of a decent job at staying up to date on what their good franchises are, with the addition of stuff like Fast and the Furious, and you know, slowly trying. They're already prepping up for Despicable Me 3 to hit theaters, and they do such a they try to be very close at all if possible to it. And I know I'll end it this question with the last one. We talked about it before on a really old episode, but I still think they need to do a Leica Entertainment Land.
Oh, where, that's a good one.
Yeah, where they have
in this kids area,
all of where they focus on Coraline, Box Trolls,
Kubo,
Paranorman, Kubo. They're such great movies. And it's a shame that they only get these little limited time experiences at Universal, and then the whole thought of them had basically just disappeared from the theme parks. I still think they need to do something with it. You know, it's the way it kind of works is that they need to scratch each other's back. Universal needs to give Leica a little bit of love, and that's going to bolster up their box office success.
Yeah, I think so.
And then it's going to feed back and forth. So that is my opinion on that. So those are our five, if we gave them.
I don't even know if that was five or four.
It was Spielberg.
Spielbergland.
Spielbergland. Leica, monsters/horror. I don't remember
classic movies or Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, and then NBC Must See TV.
Yeah, something that celebrates TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
TV Land. Just steal it from Nick and Knight, whatever.
Yeah, so good. They should have made a channel out of it. so our next one comes from Frank, and Frank asks, "What are some of the non-theme park things to do at the resort you suggest?" Well, that's kind of an open question, because I didn't suggest a theme park or a resort, and I didn't. So I can't tell you what, but I think we can probably give you a bullet point list here of some things you can do outside of Studios, Volcano Bay, and Islands.
Bowling at Cabana Bay.
Yeah.
That's always fun. We like that.
I would also say just drinking to anywhere at Cabana Bay, if you are into that. There's nothing as fun as you know, hanging out at the pool at the Atomic Tonic in the one courtyard. I just love the atmosphere there. I just love all the bars at Volcano Bay. I think they are enjoyable to hang out at. If you're staying at Volcano Bay or any Cabana Bay, I think I just said Volcano Bay like six times in a row. Got to get Volcano Bay off the mind. It's over now.
Better than you keep saying Emerald Bay again.
Yeah, well, no, that wasn't me. That was Pete saying Emerald Bay.
Convinced Sapphire Falls was called Emerald Bay.
Yeah, he was.
It's close.
It's close. Yeah, man, no
I imagine those were all lands in Oz.
Exactly. Right? Also, if you're staying at Cabana Bay or any of the resorts, you got to get in on that that lazy river. That's just something so relaxing and nice to do.
I can't.
You know, over at Sapphire, we always say go to Strong Water.
I know a lot of this involves drinking.
Yeah, it does. But
the movie at the pool at night too is good. Yeah. The dive and dine. Drown and dine?
The dive in. No, dying in the dive in.
Yeah.
So over at Portofino, I highly recommend, there is an authentic bocce court. I don't know how authentic it is.
Oh, bocce?
Yes, bocce. But there's a bocce ball court, and it's actually like on the sand bocce court too. So you don't have the same problems as playing on grass or other surfaces. So I highly recommend going over there to do that. Hard Rock, just walking around and seeing the memorabilia is that's a lot to take through your day. So that's in Royal Pacific. I got nothing for you there. But then, of course, it's City Walk. So if you have dining and eating, definitely. If you like mini golf, play some mini golf. Check out a movie there. If you go at an off time, there's a good chance you'll be in a theater by yourself, which is definitely always preferred for me and myself and I. And
that's, me, myself, and I.
Yeah, and that is that.
You know that song.
Some I do. So our next one comes from, it's written out as Chelly, but I'm pretty sure it's a fun way of saying Shelly.
Yeah.
So
Chelly.
Chelly, but I'm going to keep saying Chelly because I like Chelly better. So Chelly says, my husband and I did the VIP tour at Universal Studios Hollywood, and it was fantastic. We were thinking of giving the VIP tour in Orlando a shot next time we're there, but we're not sure if it'll be worth it without the backlot tour. Have you done it, and do you think it's worth the money? I've never paid to do a VIP tour here, so I'm a little I can't give you a straight honest answer in terms of being worth the cost, besides seeing it on paper and saying, well, yeah, it's more expensive than getting yourself an actual ticket, just a day pass, even with Express and all that added on. But they cater to the group, they go to the attractions you want to go to, make sure you see as much as you can with as little waiting as possible. I think there's a lot of bullet points on paper. I have done the tour as part of media events, where they taken us around at VIP tours. And I do say that I love the service, and the VIP tour guides are very knowledgeable on everything they need to know about the attraction. So there are definitely perks to that. But for me, I feel like if you have a smart plan and you're very proactive in terms of getting to a theme park and going around and hitting stuff, I think you can definitely, with a good an unlimited express pass or even a regular express pass, plus a smart plan, you can get everything done cheaper. You don't really need the guide. And that's kind of my thought on that, because you get the insight and you get the information and knowledge, but you can get a lot of that in different places, specifically all the podcasts out there about Universal, because we take tours and we hear this info and then we share it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like these secrets stay and die with the tour guides. So a lot of the information they share with you is already out there. And then after that, you brought up the backlot tour with the Hollywood one. That is the reason why to do a VIP tour out there. So you get the extended backlot tour. We don't have anything like that here. So the experiences are both wildly different. I'm VIP tour all the way. If I could do that every time I go to Hollywood, I would. But here in Orlando, I think I think if you really want to slack off and you just want to see the highlights, because you won't make it around to everything. That's why I recommend doing an express pass or unlimited express plus a smart plan to hit the non-express attractions, because you will only hit the big attractions and then a couple minor ones here and there with a VIP tour. So that's all I got to say about that.
You said it. I don't think there's anything to add. So
this is called stalling for time while Craig drinks water.
Oh, I stalled really good.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, here we go. This is kind of a long one. I tried to read it 3 times and I didn't get everything I think I needed to get out of it, but we'll see what happens here. So this comes from Marshall. He says, I have 2 questions as it involves the rumored Nintendo World that could be coming to Orlando and definitely coming to Japan, and relevancy. So the one thing to take out of here is it is coming to Orlando. They've already announced that it's coming to Orlando. So so that's just that. We just don't know what's coming to Orlando.
Yeah.
Whereas we know what is happening in Japan. So Marshall says, I recently read the article that Jackie Gailey posted of a map for the rumored area, which we discussed earlier, which the expansion could be coming to. In the article, the map of the expansion is rumored to remove the Woody Woodpecker Kid Zone while keeping E.T. Adventure and placing Nintendo World behind Springfield, all of which are housed in the Universal Studios Park. While I was brainstorming when I first thought of where they could put this expansion, I originally thought about removing Marvel Superhero Island and Toon Lagoon, since Universal does not own those properties, and seeds are being planted for Disney to begin a Marvel-themed area inside their own parks, with Toon Lagoon obviously being a different story. I feel Islands of Adventure has not seen the expansion it needs, considering the last major expansion was Hogsmeade, and while Studios has seen more rides being placed and then Islands. Where do you think Nintendo World could go in either park, and what relevant changes do you think could be used for something like Lost Continent or Seuss Landing? So, the first part of it, I think that while the plan has changes, as we said earlier, I am positive that it is going to go in the back there, right behind Springfield, and next to E.T. kind of, and that will be the first thing we see open up from Super Nintendo.
And the thing is, too, is, like, think about it. Like, okay, so yes, maybe the Marvel Toon Lagoon, or, I mean, we all know that whatchamacallit needs to go, Lost Continent.
Yeah.
But, like, the area that Lost Continent occupies could not be conducive to a plan to maximize Nintendo's presence. Yeah. It could just end up... It won't give you what you want. So yeah. I feel like I know you said, you know, where it's going to go, but like or where you feel like it's going to go, but like it is there for a reason. That's the person, the equivalent of an Imagineer at Universal. It's there because that's the best space to occupy the best version of this property that we can get. You know what I mean? As far as the other stuff, yeah, I'm not disagreeing though that it needs a makeover. I'm curious though. Are people really saying that there's going to be Marvel stuff in Disney World?
Yeah, they're still kind of thinking that it's going to happen.
California Adventure, but
yeah, no, they're thinking it's still going to happen because of, you know, Disney crossing that line of starting to add characters into the parks and really trying to put in, still without the name Marvel in any of it.
I liked in the advertising was the studio that brought you the Avengers and the thing. I'm like, oh, what studio is that?
Exactly. So they're still, I think they're trying to find that line. Regardless, the reason why they're not going to get rid of Marvel Superhero Island anytime soon is because Spider-Man is still one of the best, if not argued by many, the best attraction.
It's currently fresh because there's a Spider-Man movie coming out this summer. So why not keep, you know?
Yeah, and according to Tom Holland, we have a trilogy to look forward to with Spider-Man movies. So makes zero sense for them to just abandon Spider-Man right now when it's theirs. And then second, the Hulk just went through that major refurbishment to completely revitalize the track. So I'd say we have at the least another 20 years of or so. I guess it would have been 15. So we'll say 15 years of the Incredible Hulk running. I don't see that ending anytime soon. So I don't ever see anything getting rid of a Marvel Superhero Island unless hell freezes over.
I don't foresee it ever going away. However, the Toon Lagoon thing, on the other hand, I see that going away.
Saying something for Toon Lagoon, I was in the camp that was really hoping that Kong would have been more substantial than just one building and kind of going into Toon Lagoon, or even now, what I would love is to have Ape to Ape right back and forth to each other, and instead of trying to fit a tiny Donkey Kong Country section into the first set of plans for Super Nintendo Land, why not, or Super Nintendo World and all that, why not make Donkey Kong its own island over in Islands of Adventure, and that way you get Nintendo into both parks.
Split it up like that,
So, but yeah, the first we see of Nintendo will be in that spot in Universal Studios, Florida. As for what they could do to refresh Lost Continent or Seuss Landing, I first have to disagree with that because I don't think there's anything not fresh about Seuss Landing. It's Dr. Seuss books are classic. And
yeah, I would never really touch that.
Yeah, the land represents those books very well. So, yeah, it does.
I can imagine just sprucing it up or, you know, giving like – but you're right. It's one of those areas where you're like there's not – if you want to like maybe replace an attraction for a different Seuss-themed attraction, that's one thing.
I mean, and I know a lot of people complain, and we have before too, thinking about the colors. Like, oh, you know, they could use a paint job more often. But if you look at a lot of the Dr. Seuss books, while very colorful, they're also very muted in their color as well too. So the sun having its effect on all the attractions out there actually kind of works with it too. So I personally think Seuss Landing is fine. With something like Lost Continent, though, I don't know if there is any quick answer. That's a lot of land. And, you know, if there's unless they can find the right IP for it, maybe use it for something Potter in the future, maybe for something else that blows up. It's working. How is it now? Because even though Sinbad is a terrible show, it still eats up a good group of people every time. Mythos is still just as popular as it ever was, unfortunately, for some reason. So while it still maintains a way to get people in and out, I don't think they will really just shutter it quite yet. But then again, it's happened before. So I think instead of updating it, just get rid of it. But we have to wait on that. So next question comes from Condis. And Condis asks, how many days should I plan to stay at Universal Orlando to sufficiently see both parks? I'd like to stay on site, but I'm not sure how many days of park-to-park passes I should get. Also, what time does Universal Orlando have the latest hours? I want to see the parks at night.
Well, this time of year, it's a little later than it normally is, right? It's
like 9 o'clock? Maybe? Summer, you're going to have 9 and 10 o'clock for closings. I'm gonna assume you're talking about just visiting Universal Studios Florida and Islands of Adventure and not Volcano Bay. If you're only talking about the two parks, if you come in the summer, I would get an express pass by staying at one of the deluxe resorts, and you can do it all in 3 days, no problem with express. And if you come during the off time, you know, you don't have to necessarily stay at one of the deluxe hotels to get express. Stay at Cabana Bay or Sapphire Falls, and I think you can also get it done in 3 days. You just won't need that express option. And if you do want to add on Volcano Bay, I would say extend it out to 5 days. And that way you have a little wiggle room with more park hopping and stuff. But yeah, that's the base minimum you need is three full days too. I don't want to say like don't plan on flying in at 4 o'clock, checking in, hitting the parks, and then having only one full day and then a little bit extra time before you leave for the airport. You need three full days to truly get everything you need to out of it. I know a lot of people out there can do it faster, but
you want to take your time. There's areas and lands like Diagon Alley, Hogsmeade that I think deserve to have their time taken and seen. You know, don't rush through this.
Yeah, no. And if it's a factor on how many days of money you can get to it, yeah, you can do both parks in 2 days and you will sufficiently see everything. But you're going to Universal. What's the point of just doing it, getting it, the bare minimum done when you could really dive in deep to what they're about, and that is immersion. So three for regular, based on the times of years that we said, based on the others, and then five if you add on Volcano Bay.
Yeesh.
Yes. Yeesh. So we are coming to our very final question, and this one comes from, I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, Chris. And Chris asks, Disney World is known for their use of background music to fully immerse their guests. Does Universal implement background music throughout the parks as well? If so, do you have a favorite background music that you could consistently hear played at Universal parks?
The Harry Potter music in Diagon Alley. I know it always comes back to Harry Potter, but there's something about when you hear that theme, and I don't know the name of the theme, but the theme from Order of the Phoenix, and it's the Umbridge is going down the hallway and putting all the, you know, all the changes in the school, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. It's this like upbeat. I just love hearing that.
Yeah, no. So to answer your question a little bit more thoroughly too, yes, Universal also uses background music throughout the entire park, throughout both parks and Volcano Bay. It's a little bit different though, because Universal Studios Florida, more or less, they take the music based on where you're kind of at. So as you're going through New York, you're going to hear a lot more like kind of jazzy themes from movies and such. You know, 30s, 40s kind of style throughout. So when you're walking through Kid Zone, you hear fun, crazy music. Hollywood, you kind of hear that big band style going in with it. When you walk in Production Central, you hear just kind of a big splash of different genres. So yeah, in Springfield, you hear the Springfield Loop, which is personally one of my favorites.
I love it.
The Springfield Loop.
Yeah. And ours doesn't do it. I didn't notice this last year. I hope they do it this year, but the loop that they play in Hollywood is during Halloween Horror Nights is the Treehouse of Horror. Yeah. And it just is like, it's just fun. Cause it's not like that area is scary or anything at night, but it's just, it's cool to walk through and hear it. Like, I love that touch.
So essentially Universal Studios Florida really relies heavily on the music from the movies in the areas that they're represented in. That's their background music. You know, not too far apart from what kind of Hollywood Studios is like, focusing on the time periods and the movies that are represented in the areas. Islands of Adventure is a little bit different because it's not all straight up movies. A lot of it is music that they had done for it, and they actually did way back in the late 90s when the park opened. They put out official albums of Islands of Adventure.
I have it, I have the actual copy of it still.
Yeah, and so, you know, there was a lot of original stuff done for Port of Entry and Lost Continent, and then there was kind of fun reworkings on Seuss-style songs, and and then obviously when Harry Potter came in, that was straight up Potter, which I love all the background music in that area too. It's because the stuff they have in Hogsmeade is kind of the best of the first four movies. And you know, that's where a lot of the iconic music from Harry Potter comes, just from Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone. We don't hate anyone out there. But I love a lot of the music from that. So, and they played that in the castle all the time. So that's kind of where I react with it. Obviously, Jurassic Park is heavy with Jurassic Park music. So you get my drift. At this point, I'm just kind of rambling on. But yeah, for me, I love the music from Harry Potter, and I love the Springfield loops. Those are my two favorite ones to sit and listen to. I spend a lot of time at the Duff Brewery out front of Moe's and just sit and watch the clips that they play from The Simpsons and listen to the loop. That's probably my favorite, actually.
When Bartman's playing out there.
Do the Bartman. No, it's all good stuff. It's really good. So that's it for questions. I hope we answered some good ones there. A lot of fun ones, things we haven't really delved into before. So next time we do a Q&A, I hope y'all can keep up the challenging questions. But of course, if you ever want to send us questions, you can email us at uopodcast@disunplug.com, and we will read them eventually. Even if it's not an email show, maybe we'll pick one every once in a while and just read it on a regular show. We do have that option to do that. We make this. But if you can't find our email address, of course, you can always find it at disunplug.com. That is the home to our show notes page for this show and every single other show on the Disunplugged Podcast Network, as well as links to our social media channels on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and such. Make sure that you are being subscribed to us on the iTunes, as it's called lately. That's what I've been hearing it called as, the iTunes.
The iTunes.
And make sure you're leaving reviews or just giving us star ratings on iTunes. Make sure you're subscribed to us on YouTube as well. and leaving comments and hitting that thumbs up button. And, of course, sharing it with a friend because, as we've been saying lately, sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Yes. Sharing.
So, yeah, yes. So thank you guys so much. Thank you all for watching and listening to this, whichever way you consumed it. Rhino, thank you very much for answering some questions with me here. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a jolly good time. So next week we will be back with you with another new episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition, but that won't happen until next week. But yeah, until then, once again, sorry, but no resolutions. Have a good one.